So today we are talking about Jean Grey and the Dark Phoenix. What I think is really cool about Jean Grey and the Dark Phoenix is that the Dark Phoenix saga is the most, it was voted on as the most popular comic book saga ever. And it is a really, really interesting story that she has. She is one of the original X-Men, where she joined them, and then ultimately her story through the comic book series was expounded upon and got better. But I want to talk about her her life as the Phoenix. She joins the X-Men. She fights alongside them. She does all of this heroic stuff with them. But at that point, she's not very strong. She's actually relatively weak. In the cartoon series in the 90s, she was actually relatively weak. Every single episode, it seemed like she got knocked out in some sort of way. And then ultimately, someone had to rescue her. But there came a point where they had a mission to do, and they're in space, and a solar flare comes in, and Jean Grey kind of sacrifices herself to save the X-Men. And she takes the brunt of the damage of the solar flare, and all of her squad, the X-Men, fall into this body of water, and they fear that she died. And at that point, in the comics, she busts out of the water alive and in a brand new outfit. And it was green and yellow or gold. And she says the words, "I am Phoenix." And what you find out later is the Phoenix is actually a type of being that inhabits a body in order for its power to be fully revealed. And the Phoenix is very powerful. In episodes in issues later, Jean Grey as the Dark Phoenix destroys an entire solar system, killing billions of beings in that solar system. And she does a ton of horrible things as the Dark Phoenix. But I want to mainly, I want to hone in on this idea of the Phoenix. When I saw the Phoenix and I grew up reading comic books, I always was intrigued by Jean Grey and her alter ego, the Phoenix. And I always liked that story. But when you dig into this idea of the Phoenix is a symbol of rebirth. In Greek mythology, the phoenix is a bird that dies and goes to a pile of ashes and then ultimately resurrects it back into a phoenix. And back in the day, they actually used the symbol of the phoenix as a symbol of Christ and how he died and rose again and was reborn, per se. He was brought back to life in defeating death. And so it made me come to Luke 24. And when I looked at Luke 24, I can't help but get chills. There's a point in the story of X-Men when she comes back to life that when you think she's dead, she's actually not dead. And so In this story in Luke 24, we read the viewpoint of Luke and how these women go to the tomb. Jesus has died at this point. He's been buried in the tomb, and there were women that came to the tomb and found it empty, and then they talked to these angels that were there at the tomb, and the angels basically told her, told them, "Why are you upset? He told you this was going to happen. Like, Like, he spoiled the ending of the movie for you. Like, and yet you didn't believe it. And there's a reason why they didn't believe it. But I want to read this starting in chapter 24, starting in verse 13. The women have already run back to the disciples, telling the apostles what they saw. And the apostles have not believed them at this point. They actually in verse 11 says, "But these words seemed to them an idle tale." It was like they were making it up. And so starting in verse 13, it says, "That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him," meaning he kept them from seeing him for who he really was. "And he said to them, 'What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?' And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, 'Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' And they said to him, 'Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women in our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." And when I read that monologue of this character talking to Jesus, we see in there his defeat, the defeat of humanity. Like, their savior had died, and I thought of it in, like, with X-Men, you know, this Jean Grey saves the whole X-Men, and she dies, and in fact she was married to one of the X-Men, and another X-Men was in love with her. Cyclops was married and Wolverine was in love with her, but she died and there was this hole that was left. With Jesus, there's an even bigger hole that was left, because Jesus came and said that he was going to redeem. He was going to, as they put it, "But we had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel." They were putting all of their chips in on this man, and he died, and it was the third day, and all they had heard was this idle tale of these women that saw a, and I put this in quotations, a vision of angels. Like, and the body's gone from the tomb, they don't know if it's moved, but it's hard to believe that someone was raised from the dead and moved that huge stone, and they were defeated. They were sad. And that's what gives me chills in the next part of this whole thing. It says, where they finish, they say, "Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him," Jesus, "they did not see. And Jesus said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent." I love that part simply because you see the heart of these apostles and disciples. You see their heart for people. This man that they've been walking with all day, it's evening, and they they've been listening to him talk about prophecy and all of that, and they go, you just want to stay the night, like we'll welcome you into our home. It's all cool, and I love that part. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open and they recognized him. And then he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with him gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. It's so cool. Could you imagine sitting there and doing that? And oftentimes in these sort of stories, I want to immerse myself into the story. I want to know what the smells were like, what it felt like, what was it hot, was it cold, what was the ambiance like? And you think he breaks the bread, and everybody then is allowed to recognize Jesus for who he is. And it's not just a stranger on the road anymore. It's the God-man Jesus who defeated death. And at that point, they realized that he redeemed Israel in a completely different manner than what they expected. It would be like if I was granted 3 wishes and I wished for something and I was given a different result than what I expected. Like, let's say I wish I didn't have to be hungry anymore. And so instead of getting all of this food and never having to go without something to eat, my stomach is gone. I no longer have to eat at all anymore the rest of my life. That's what Jesus did. Jesus came and they thought that he was going to redeem Israel in a different way. And it's like they said, I wish God would come and redeem Israel. And he comes and they expect one thing and he gives them another. And praise God that he gave them another way of redemption, because now the Gentiles, the non-Jews, get to enjoy this as well. And so that's what encourages me about this. And what I love is this picture of the phoenix, that death is defeated. And Christ himself, even later in the chapter, you see him and he tells him, I'm not a spirit. You can feel me, touch me. I'm not a ghost. I am human, or I'm physically here. I've defeated death, and so much so he wants to prove it to them by sitting down and eating with them so that they can see that he is really alive. They witnessed his death and he is really alive in front of them and defeating death, and because of that, believing in him and trusting in him as your Lord and Savior, that he defeated death and took the punishment on our behalf, that by believing in him, confessing with our mouths that he's Lord, and believing in our heart that that God raised him from the dead, we could be saved alongside that. And so that's the beauty of this story. That's the beauty of the picture of the phoenix and the symbolism of the phoenix, is that God is so great and so magnificent that he defeated death on our behalf, so that we can have righteousness before God through the God-man Jesus Christ. And so I want this, as I saw this passage, and I saw this character, I just really wanted to encourage you that if you are saved, remember this story, especially now. Easter's coming up, and what an opportunity to just really dive into the death and resurrection story of Jesus Christ and all that he gave and all that he did for us as Christians. And then if you're listening to this and you are not saved, I hope that this passage just encourages you, but also opens your eyes. And I pray that God would open your eyes to his salvation plan and why this is significant in the story of Jesus Christ, and it's significant in the lives of Christians everywhere. And so please let this be an encouragement. Luke 24 is such a great chapter, and my prayer is that it would just be an encouragement or even just an eye-opener for those that aren't saved. I was excited to talk about the Phoenix, and I hope that you'll join me next time as we do our next superhero in May.